Thank you. Thank you so much, Anna. Thanks. And Anna asked me to introduce Nancy. Consider ourselves co-conspirators in that passion about congregations and helping them actualize their potential, and using the Courage Work to do that. So Nancy has participated in Circle of Trust work since 2008, and sees the practices of the Circle work as transformational for individuals and foundational for creating trustworthy communities. Nancy was prepared as a Courage and Renewal facilitator in 2012. She has served as a religious professional and grounds her own spiritual practice as a Unitarian Universalist. Her experience in congregational consulting, leadership development, small group formation, and retreat facilitation spans the past 25 years. Nancy has worked in community organizing for alternative education and has been instrumental in the development of an interfaith countywide warming center program. I know many of you in this room have participated in that program for unsheltered homeless, and serves on the board with me for PFLAG Santa Barbara. She lives in Santa Barbara with her husband, Alan, and together they boast about their three adult children. Formative in their family has been their journey as a homeschooling family. It's one of those things that impresses me enormously, that they homeschooled all three of their children. I think I would have killed mine. Wasn't a possibility.
We were close at home.
Right. And she's been involved for 25 years in annually participating in the Satir Family Camp, which is founded by Virginia Satir, one of the first family therapists. Spending any time around Nancy will add more boasting about all her children's life partners and one amazing grandson. On the break, you can ask her, Nancy, do you have any pictures of that grandson? And she'll share.
Just happen to have two right here.
So that's Nancy. So are you going to sing to us?
Yes. Okay, it's time to do our blessing. Where is Tom? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It doesn't need to happen immediately, but at some point, part of having these tables is to encourage you. Part of what we want you to experience before we're done is a little taste of what a circle of trust might feel like. So if you would be willing to sit at a table, there's a space up here, there's a couple here, there's one here, and we have plenty of handouts. So as I'm speaking, if you're not sitting at a table and might be willing to, there are spaces up front, and I think there are still spaces in the back. So thank you. I thought I would begin by just sharing a little bit about, we were asked to speak on these chapters, or to connect these chapters 4 and 5, which are called The Social and Global Power of Heart Coherence. So I've read the book. We came to the last session. We've been listening online to the talks, and so I think have some sense of what you've been studying about. So I thought a good place to start would be to share with you some of the most obvious connections I see between the circle of trust work that Parker has developed and the heart congruence work that you've been studying about. And I think one of the first most obvious pieces is the reality of something that we call the heart. And Parker, to use the words of Parker, it doesn't matter what you call it, but that you call it something is really essential. And in the Parker work, in the circles of trust, we would refer to that part of us as the inner teacher, or the soul is another common word. To again quote Parker, he says, you know, Thomas Merton called it the true self. The Buddhists call it the big self, or the ground of being. No, and the Quakers might call it, again, the inner light or the inner teacher. A humanist might call it our basic sense of identity or integrity. So it doesn't matter what you call it, but I think all of these systems are talking about the same reality within us, that we do have this deeper part of ourselves that we, most importantly, have access to. And we can access that part of ourselves individually through things like prayer and meditation and the heart technology that you've been learning about. And we also can access that part of ourselves in community. And that those two things can go very, very powerfully together. That we can really connect with ourselves, that we really need each other. That inner work requires both solitude and community. So the heart is real, and we can have access to it. Another basic overlapping principle is that we're all in this together. Where in the heart math technology they're talking about, you know, in all the sciences, biology, physiology, ecology, you know, all the ologies, and certainly in all the major faith traditions, they talk about the profound interconnection of all of life, that we can walk around feeling like we're separate, but the deeper reality is that we are all profoundly connected to each other and to all of life, and that life works better when we can get into closer connection with the reality of that, and that our heart, our soul, is the link-up. It's one of those places where we can begin to sense that the profundity of our connection. So we depend on each other, and we're responsible to and for each other. And if any of us moves or grows, we all grow. And if any of us or any part of creation is diminished, we are all diminished. Even if we don't directly experience it, it's part of our reality. And I think that's the theme, one of the powerful themes in those two chapters is what goes on inside you makes a difference to everything around you and vice versa. That we're in a constant dialogue and conversation between our inner life, our inner world, our inner heart, and the reality outside of us. And that we grow and are transformed in that dialogue between the two. So we thought our plan this morning is to not talk at you or lecture too much, but we thought the most powerful way, and this is a great group, I think, to do it with because you're so open to experiential learning, and you've been learning so much of this technology of the heart math, that we would engage you in a little bit of a taste of what a circle of trust is all about. What does it feel like to be in a circle of trust? And one of the tools that we use in a circle of trust, so how do we connect with that heart, that soul part of ourselves, that at the very core of a circle of trust is the notion that we are doing things together in community to help us access that part of ourselves. And out of that, we want to engage with the world. That what the circle of trust work is all about is helping people get in touch with themselves at a deeper level. And then what do you want to do from that place? It's really about an integration of soul and world. If I'm connected to myself, how does that motivate me and move me to act in the world? So one of the practices that we use is what we call, we access that heart part of ourselves by using metaphor a lot. And one of the main accesses is through for metaphor is poetry, music, art. We call it the language of the soul, that we have a tendency, and you've been focusing on this a lot, to get much more easily connected to our heads, but to really get connected to our heart. The language of the heart tends to be metaphorical, that we're touched in a way by music and art and poetry, and more immediately in a way that circumvents, hopefully, when it's working, our heads and helps us. So we use poetry a lot. So I thought we would just start out and read a poem together. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this poem twice and leave some space in between. And what I invite you to do as I read the poem is allow it just to move you in your heart. And one of the ways you can notice that is don't get hung up in what is this poem trying to say to me and what does it mean or any of that, but just what words or phrases touch you in some way. And you don't even have to understand why at this point. And as I read, if you experience being touched by any word or phrase, to just notice that and perhaps to underline it. So this is a poem. This first poem we're going to read is by Jean Vanier from his book Becoming Human. And you remember who he was. He's the founder of the L'Arche community. And I'm going to, again, read it twice with some space in between. And your job is just to allow your heart to be touched in whatever way. So a movement of the heart. When I discover that I am accepted and loved as a person with my strengths and weaknesses, when I discover that I carry within myself a secret, the secret of my uniqueness, then I begin to open up to others and respect their secret. Each human being, however small or weak, has something to bring to humanity. As we start to really get to know others, as we begin to listen to each other's stories, things begin to change. We begin the movement from exclusion to inclusion, from fear to trust, from closedness to openness, from judgment and prejudice to forgiveness and understanding. It is a movement of the heart. And I'll read it once more. When I discover that I am accepted and loved as a person with my strengths and weaknesses, when I discover that I carry within myself a secret, the secret of my uniqueness, then I can begin to open up to others and respect their secret. Each human being, however small or weak, has something to bring to humanity. As we start to really get to know others, as we begin to listen to each other's stories, things begin to change. We begin the movement from exclusion to inclusion, from fear to trust, from closedness to openness, from judgment and prejudice to forgiveness and understanding. It is a movement of the heart. Again, I would just invite you to notice any words or phrases that touched you, and you don't even have to understand why, but that touched your heart as I read and we shared that poem together.
Fascinating question. Fascinating.
Siri said fascinating question. She's listening deeply.
And then what we're going to do next is very simply what I'm going to invite you to do, and it'll be kind of cacophonous here for just a minute or two, is I'm going to invite you to share, each of you who would like to, into the center of your table, those words or phrases that touched you. You don't have to say why. You don't have to explain. No explanation, just the word or phrase. And you're just going to offer that into the center of the table. And your table mates are not going to respond to you. They're just going to listen. So it's just a matter of any of you who would like to or be willing to share into the center of the table the word or phrase that touched you. And we'll do that for just a moment or two, and then we'll take it from there. So go ahead and just share, if you would like, into the center of the table, the word or phrase that touched you. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. So just a little taste. Just raise your hand if you found something in that poem that touched you in some way. Just raise your hand. Okay, so that's the way the poetry works. It goes right to the heart and hopefully out of our heads. I'm going to turn it over to Nancy, and she's going to talk to you about our touchstones.
Yeah, so as we've worked with groups of people in all kinds of professions from all walks of life, and the Center for Courage and Renewal has been doing this for over 25 years, we've formulated one of our practices, which we call the touchstones. And you'll find these on page 2 of the handouts that are with you. And before we read through these, George and I are just going to read them out for all of us. Some of what we're doing while we embrace these practices when we're in community in a circle of trust is one thing we're doing is creating group agreements about how we want to be with each other and how we interact. On a larger picture level, and to tie in the reading that you've been doing, is these touchstones help us create the conditions that are safe and trustworthy to access this heart and this global congruence that we talk about. Parker talks about the soul, and he talks about the soul as being extraordinarily resilient. Extraordinarily resilient, yet very shy. Shy like a wild animal. And you know, if you go into the wilderness and if you sit quietly, or if I even go into my backyard, if I sit quietly, maybe a wild animal will come out and I'll have a brief encounter with that wild animal. But I need to be quite still, and the conditions need to be supportive to that. To access that wild animal, I can't go running into my backyard and say, here I come, I want to interact with you, or out into the wilderness. So this resilient soul, this heart that we have access to, this inner wisdom, needs particular conditions. And our touchstones are what we have found as trustworthy ways to create those conditions in community. So George and I are just going to read these out to you, and you can follow along. Choose for yourself when and how to participate. There is always invitation. Never invasion, always opportunity, never demand.
Make space for silence and reflection. Slow down and pay attention to the inner voice that is trying to speak.
Embrace differences. Speak your truth with I statements. Listen with an open mind to others' truths.
No fixing. Seek instead, through deep listening and open questions, to help each other find his or her own clarity and resourcefulness.
When the going gets rough, turn to wonder. Turn from reaction and judgment to wonder and compassionate inquiry. I wonder why they think or feel this way. I wonder what pushed my buttons.
And very importantly, observe confidentiality. Safety is built when we can trust that our words and stories will remain with the people with whom we choose to share and are not passed on to others without our permission.
So these are the agreements that we'd like you to embrace as we continue this morning together. A word about confidentiality, because you are a community, and we'll be inviting you to do some sharing over the next hour. It can be tricky in communities that know each other because you don't want to pretend you haven't heard something when you see someone next week. But so my coaching to you on that is just to say, I've been thinking about you, holding you in my heart. If someone shares something with you that might be, you know, of particular personal significance, but you don't break that confidentiality by saying, do you want to talk to me some more about what you share? Because you, can you feel how invasive that is? And where that wild animal or the soul would just go, well, that didn't work very well. And also that you wouldn't share each other's stories with each other after this morning as well. So we picked another poem to take a look at that we think it speaks to the reality of this inner heart, the inner teacher, and the reality of connection to the outer world and the importance of community. On page 3 is a message from the Hopi elders. Before we dig into this poem, this piece has been published in a variety of different ways over the years, and we do not want to be on the edge or in an area of misappropriation. I've had the privilege to visit on service trips to the Hopi Reservation, and I have Hopi friends. And I checked this out with some of my Hopi friends. Now, the Hopi are very playful people, and they're also very private about their prophecy and their elders and their religious experience. It wouldn't have been appropriate for me. I don't know elders well enough to have asked an elder about this poem, but I asked some of my other Hopi friends, and they responded with a twinkle in their eye. So I can never be sure. But they say, this is close enough. This is close enough for what you want to do with this. So what I want to say is, we have no way of knowing if this is what the Hopi elders said. And there's some wisdom for us to explore. Georgia and I are going to read this out to you stanza by stanza. And again, your invitation is to notice what speaks to you. If you'd like to underline or circle some words, or just let these words wash into you and into your heart. A message from the Hopi elders. We've been telling the people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell the people that this is the hour, and there are things to be considered.
Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? And are you in right relation? Where is your water? Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other. And do not look outside yourself for the leader. This could be a good time.
There is a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will feel they're being torn apart, and they will suffer greatly. Know the river has its destination.
The elders say we must let go of the shore and push off into the river. Keep our eyes open and our head above water. See who is in there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt.
The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that you do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration.
We are the ones we've been waiting for.
So our invitation to you now is to spend about the next 7 minutes journaling on some questions that we provided to you on the next page, on page 4. And you can do this by jotting some notes in response to a couple of these questions. Maybe one of these questions will particularly resonate with you. Perhaps there's something in this poem that jumped out to you, and you just want to capture some thoughts about that. These questions that we've provided for you, what speaks to you in this poem? What hour is it for you? Is there a truth that it is time for you to speak? What is its name? When do you feel like a lone wolf? What is the name of your river? Who is in it with you? Where is it going? Now, in 7 minutes, you can't possibly do this. This isn't a short answer. Nobody's grading this. This is take a deep breath. Take one of your heart coherent breaths. Look at a question, see what emerges for you, and we'll spend this time in silence, and I'll let you know when we're ready to come back together. I invite you to bring that part of your reflection to a close for now. We're going to move to what we call a pair and share. So you'll be pairing up with someone sitting nearby you at your table, and you'll each be given 5 minutes to share from your reflection while one person listens deeply to you. This isn't a conversation time. It's a time of deep listening. We'll keep time for you from here after you've found your pairs. So first one person will share from any of your reflection from this morning, and we'll do that for 5 minutes. If you feel like you've shared everything that you'd like to in that 5 minute period and the time isn't up, then just sit and share some silence together. Just a reminder about our touchstones. This isn't a share or die event. So you share what you're comfortable sharing. And if your soul, inner teacher, and heart is saying, I want to sit in silence for 5 minutes, you can do that as well. A reminder not to ask questions of your parent share partner or jump in and share your experience. Or, oh, that reminds me of, this is what we're kind of conditioned to do in our dominant culture. Just listen deeply. So go ahead and find a pair and share partner now. We might need to move about if we have some uneven numbers. So if you don't have a partner, just raise your hand and we'll get you paired up.
As I looked, these two tables in the back each have an extra person. So I think if one person from the farthest table and one person from this table paired up, I think we'll be all set.
You want to kind of cozy up, maybe knee to knee, because there's going to be a lot of, so you can lean in, so you can hear what your partner has to say. Okay, so it looks like we have our partners. Maybe we've got one.
We've got one person who needs a partner. Does anybody else need a partner? Raise your hand. I'll be her partner.
Okay. I can. Do you want me to partner up?
I'll do it. Since
okay.
You're running.
So George is going to partner up. So before you all start sharing, let's all just share in silence a couple slow, deep breaths together. Come into this space together. So breathing in and out. And in. And out. Okay, and the first partner can start to share. So bring that, your thoughts, to a close. Thank your partner for listening to you. And now go ahead and switch. Switch. Yeah, right. That's right. You should not have switched. So now the second partner has 5 minutes to share while the other partner deeply listens. Take a moment to bring your sharing to a close. Thank your partner. And now if you would, please turn your attention to the center of the table where you're sitting. Turning your attention to the center of this table. And we know that these are short sharing times. It's challenging to wrap it up. In our work, our body of work, we frequently say this is work that keeps on working. It continues to work in us. The questions that we've offered, the poetry, the metaphor, the deep listening, doesn't stop when the timer goes off. It doesn't stop when we leave this room. This is where we intersect with this concept of global coherence, that this work continues to work, even though our timer says we're going to turn our attention to the center of the table. So just for this next minute, would you each please share just into the center of your table a word or two that describes your experience of our last 40 minutes together. So just since George and I started working with you, a word or two, and just share it into the center of the table, your table mates. Well, thank you. One of the things about a circle of trust is it doesn't work if there isn't a circle. So I want to thank you for playing with these practices with us for now. We're going to hit the pause button and take a 20-minute break. And also want to let you know that both George and I brought in copies of Parker Palmer's books or collections of poetry, a couple books that have been written about the work, and they're on a table there. We're here and available during the break to talk to you, and we'll be coming back together in 20 minutes, 11:25. We'll start gathering you before 11:25. Okay? Thank you.